Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Thank you, Dan, and welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you're with us tonight. We have so much to talk about tonight that I know you're going to want to take notes, and it's because we're talking about how to balance the biblical protocols of keeping within, consolation, you know, edifying and encouraging, and yet how to give the true word of the Lord that God has given you. How do you pray for somebody with real specific issues in their life? Or tonight we're going to talk about more how to prophesy to that person. Everybody knows they have strongholds, knows they have a bondage, knows that they have this issue going on, and yet the Bible tells you to stay within, encourage, edify, and console. Now, what I have had noticed lately in a word that I read was that they tried. I know they were trying because what they did was they alternated. They alternated encouragement and then a sentence of correction. And then they put another encouragement or something to build that person up. Then they put correction again. Then they put a consolation, you know, but God is going to do all this if you obey, you know, this, go along with this correction. And then, but they still had three corrections in it. Now, if you're anything like me, you've probably received a prophetic word that wounded you. You didn't want to let it wound you. You wanted to focus on the edifying, the encouragement, and the consolation, right? But if somebody gives you a word, and they use the sandwich method, and they do include several compliments for, say, three criticisms in this case, which one are you going to remember the longest? It's just human nature, right? You're going to remember the criticisms much longer than you remember the compliments. That's just human nature. So what's to be done? Now, some people have swung to an opposite extreme, and they have done the all bless me word. And prophetic people have been accused of becoming a bless me club because maybe they're so intent on sticking with that protocol that they don't deal with real issues. Now, I know when I was first released as a prophet, acting like, I think it was 96 or 7, I had already had several years of training and several words about being a prophet, but I wasn't in an environment where I could freely give words all the time. Then after I entered ministry training school in 96, then I was in an environment at Christian International where I was legally, if you will, supposed to give prophetic words every Friday night to whoever came to stand in front of me. Well, that took a lot of trust on the leadership's part and a lot of good training so that we knew the difference of prophesying to the result, I call it, instead of to the problem. And what that means is anybody can point out a problem in someone else's life. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be insightful. I mean, anybody that's breathing can see problems. But it takes a seasoned minister to know how to hear the heart of God and how to prophesy over that area in such a way that that person receives more healing, more freedom, and more empowerment to hear God, obey God, align with God in that area rather than wounding. And so unfortunately, most people that have not submitted themselves to mentoring, to a school of the prophets, if you will, are not submitted to a real prophet who can hear their words, the words that they give, and offer them continued instruction and training. They may just alternate like this word does. They just alternated correction with consolation and edifying and encouragement. It wasn't truly avoiding correction as they had been instructed to do. Now, it's not that there's no place for correction, but here's the thing. If you are not in that person's chain of authority above them, if you have not been given a measure of rule in their life to lead them and correct them, if your or their leadership, either one, has not approved a word of correction and given you permission to give it, then you're out of line. So it doesn't matter how sincerely you think you heard the word of God, your delivery was inappropriate because you did not take it through God's chain of authority, and he set that up for a reason. Why? Because we have all been hurt by prophetic ministry that included correction when it should have been edify, encourage, and console or comfort. Now, I don't want to be guilty of the same thing, just telling you what not to do instead of how to do it. So tonight we're going to talk about how to do it. First, though, I want to point out a couple of things that I am not endorsing. I am not endorsing the false grace gospel, I call it. Somebody accused me of some things even this week, last week. They did it with harshness, and they did it in a mocking way and in public. Now, that certainly was not grace, amen? So I confronted them back saying, are you showing grace and love to me? You know, I'm not feeling it, honey. But God commanded us to cast our mountains into the sea, amen. What that means is, in spite of the finished work of Christ, that he has done his part, he has finished his work, there will still be mountains that have to be cast into the sea. We are not promised a smooth pathway with no mountain. We are exhorted and commanded in the Bible to know how to cast our mountains into the sea. Mountains, plural, amen. And we are commanded to be overcomers. Now, because Christ has finished his work, that does not mean there will never be anything or any devils to overcome. In fact, we are commissioned along with Christ's disciples, the 70, 72, and every disciple since, to know how to minister deliverance. And they said, well, the law of sin and death is already broken, and, why do you teach people that they have bondages and have strongholds? Well, I believe the Bible. And in Luke 11:20, I didn't look this up, and there it talks about, overcoming strong men. And we wouldn't need to do that. That wouldn't have to be in the Bible. And no, I don't believe that that was only for that day. I believe there's strongholds today. And if you have a church full of people with no strongholds in their life, I want to know where it is. In fact, I want to know what city you live in that could even happen. So why do some believers still have bondages, even though Jesus said we could take these bondages to the cross? I submit to you the main problem is that people don't know how to take their fleshly structures to the cross. They don't know their spiritual power and authority to cast out demons as they were instructed to do. And because some people preach that you're half old nature and half new nature, then they're even convinced in their very identity that they are not partakers of a new nature. They're not a new creature in Christ. They're half old and half new. So I'm starting a lot of fights tonight, right? Well, there's a lot of confusion here. So it has made room for this false grace gospel to come in. And I'm just hearing right now the Lord saying that some of you don't know what that is. And it's huge again today. It was huge when Paul was teaching, because once you're aware of it, you'll see it all through the New Testament where he comes against it. Because even today, you'll hear some people saying, well, when we're saved, we're exempt from the penalties of sin, meaning sin has no consequences for us. In fact, a lot of people are taking it further than that, saying there's no such thing as sin, that the problem is sin consciousness. Well, I would agree with one thing. Sin consciousness is a problem. We want to be Christ conscious, and we don't want our prophecies to be sin conscious, sin focused. We want them to be Christ in you focused. However, that does not mean that Christians never sin and never have to confess sin. But some people are believing this false grace gospel that would say that sin's just, you know, like temporary trouble, that, you know, don't worry about it if you're still sinning. Just keep saying who you are in Christ. Well, there's half truth in that. Part of the cure is to keep saying who you are in Christ. But you can't ignore the fact that you're not aligned with God's truth, not obeying his will, and not releasing Christ to live this life through you. No, I'm not saying that I either believe that I will be perfect in my behavior. There is a difference there, too. I'm bringing up lots of theological questions tonight. But see, that's the thing. When you are ministering through prophecy, your theology affects it strongly. And if you're believing error, then it will taint how you believe you're hearing God. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you are in sin yourself by saying there is no such thing as sin in a believer's life, for instance, then you're not going to hear God clearly. And the false grace people are teaching that repentance and confession of sin is not necessary after you've been saved. In fact, I've even heard it worse than that. I knew a man well that said that he had led his daughter's boyfriend to Christ. And I said, well, did you lead him to repent of fornication? He said, oh, no, repentance isn't necessary. And you would be amazed at how many people are believing that repentance is not necessary before Christ or after. It's simply not true. If we repent, we're forgiven. If we retain our sins, they're retained. That's what the Bible says. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. But some people are living in denial. And that's another thing that prophecy is not. I'm not advocating that you just edify and encourage and comfort and encourage that person to live in denial. We're not saying that either. We're not saying that God doesn't care if you never align with his truth, if you never obey him, if you never understand his heart and his intent to live a holy life through you. We're not saying that. We don't encourage the denial either. That's an extreme. But neither am I supporting the false grace message, which would say your intent to live a holy life is legalism. You know, it's all about motivation. And do you believe Christ is living it through you, or is your motivation to try to earn Christ's love and acceptance by living a holy life in your own strength? Now, that's impossible. We cannot do that. That's why Christ came and died for us, because only he can live the Christian life through us. He paid for our sins. We cannot and do not work to earn salvation, but holiness and obedience and good works are our response to the completed work of Christ on the cross. Not in our own strength, we release Christ to do it through us. So in a lot of my prophetic words, I hear the Lord saying to tell people so they will understand, I want to live the life through you, the Lord says. I can live the Christian life. I can do it in my own strength. I just need to have your invitation to live it through you. And, you know, God even said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I tell you? And in John, it talks about how if you live a whole lifestyle of sin, then, you know, you don't know Christ after all. Not really, because you're not in love with Christ. You're still in love with your sin. So salvation is depicted as something that's permanent, no matter what you believe, what you say, what you do. Now, I'm not going to get into the once saved, always saved, because we shouldn't even have to ask that question. What we should be asking is, Lord, how do I let you live your life through me so I'm not even worried about sin? I'm not even worried about how far I can sin and still be pleasing to you or still be blessed, put it that way. So I want you to call in tonight with your questions. I'm going to teach just a little bit more, not a long time, about how to prophesy to the result, how to prophesy over specific issues without violating the biblical protocol and getting into all kinds of correction and direction that is not appropriate because you are not that person's leadership or have not passed this word by their leadership. So the Bible says that, you know, we can all hear God's voice, and men and women, young and old, will be able to prophesy. So that's a lot of people. But not everybody can be the leader that's been authorized to give correction without running it by the leadership. So we need to know what these guidelines are. If you have specific questions, too, on specific issues or more about how to do it, please call 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. I really want you to call tonight and help me to express this because it's not easy. It's not easy. This is why it's a big question. Why we have a lot of questions on this. And for every one of you that ask a question, I'm sure there'll be probably 1,000 people that have the same question and didn't call in. So please, please help us out. Now, the most helpful thing that I have learned in my prophetic training in the early 90s was how to prophesy to the results. That phrase didn't mean much to me. I'd never heard a phrase like that. I could kind of understand, don't prophesy the problem. And our leadership at Life Center in Atlanta, where I was first trained, did a good job of demonstrating this to us and also correcting us if we did not get it, if we thought we were the leader and we should be correcting people in public. You know, even if you correct someone in private, you need to do it so carefully with the heart of God because people are more fragile than we think. Now, if you're just talking to someone and you need to discuss something, you need to have it out kind of, you know, we have those times where we just have to say how we feel. That is totally different than taking the microphone with the weight of your words saying, I hear the Lord saying, or thus saith the Lord. Amen. So I'm not saying that you can't say how you really feel to people if you're in a discussion representing your own heart. I'm not saying that you can't hold people accountable. Even if you're not their leadership, I feel accountable to all of our students, our alumni, the different pastors whose churches I have ministered to, even in the past. I feel like I'm still accountable to my fellow man that I not lead them astray and not wound them. However, there is a way to address specific issues without wounding people with correction or wounding them also by giving them direction like unsolicited advice, and you are not their leadership. That's why we have protocol, and if you go to our nowfaith.tv and click on schools and click on prophetic ministry and click on radio, and you'll see the 12-part series that I did with Prophet Rita Kimberly Phillips on basic prophetic teaching and guidelines. Please listen to all that. It's about the first 30 minutes of each program if you want to just listen to the teaching part. And then Prophet Rita and I minister to the callers and hopefully demonstrate what we've just taught because, of course, the Holy Spirit led certain people to call and it would, I'm sure he demonstrated how he wanted it done after the teaching. So that's under nowfaith.tv. School, prophetic ministry and radio, and you'll see a 12-part teaching on basic prophetic guidelines. Now, tonight we're going to begin, I think, a series on advanced prophetic guidelines. And tonight, you just came in. I see a lot of people just called in. We're going to be talking about how to prophesy to the results concerning specific issues in a person's life, whether you're one-on-one with them or in public, rather than prophesying to the problem or exposing their problem or unmasking them. It is very important to let the Holy Spirit do those things. And in counseling, I try not to unmask people. I let the Holy Spirit show them what the problem is. I ask a lot of questions when I'm counseling to help people see the problem for themselves. Because if I just tell them, boy, if you've got this problem, you can see the wall going up, the window between us rolling up, they get defensive, and they can't hear as well. But if I ask enough questions that they can see the problem because the Holy Spirit has revealed it with divine revelation, then they're ready to ask me, well, what's to be done? Now, how can I get past this so it won't be a pattern in my life? Now, I want to give you some examples because that's the only way I really know to talk about prophesying to the result. First of all, again, one more time, it is not exposing the problem right off the bat. Or I try not to do that. For instance, if a person has a problem with speaking too harshly, and everybody may know it, or everybody may know it but them, but God is not going to say, I've had it with you speaking too harshly. I can't minister through you because you're harsh. Or, you know, I'm really disappointed in you because you're harsh. He's not going to do that. Why? Because they're not going to hear anything else after that. They're so hurt once they see it. So how would God do it? Well, here's some examples, because every case is different. He's just so, so careful to give each of us custom ministry that fits us and speaks our language. So you can't just, like, write these down and use it for every person, but just to help us differentiate. Okay, so they've got an issue of having a harsh tongue. He might say to them, daughter or son, I'm calling you to be my voice, and I'm giving you a new clarity of mine to understand my heart and to know how to deliver it to people. I'm opening your ears to be able to hear me with such clarity that you will be able to minister to others, and they will not even know that they were corrected until later, because you will minister such hope and such encouragement and build them up in the very area where they're weakest, and they will have such hope that will become a strength, that instead of being discouraged, they're encouraged. Instead of pointing out the problem, you'll prophesy what I will do in their life to make this weakness into a strength. So can you hear that? How that person gets all excited to know that they're going to be God's voice and they're going to be able to speak his will and the way he builds people up so clearly, and that people are going to be encouraged and built up. At the same time, I never prophesied to them, boy, are you harsh? How can God ever use you? You know, what we do is we prophesy all the good things. Now, the hazard of being prophetic is the people in the congregation, for instance, that are hearing this may say, boy, is that prophet wrong? Oh, my gosh, this is the harshest person I ever met. How could they ever be all those good things? But see, that's just the thing. It takes the power of God to turn a weakness into a strength, right? But if that person gets the vision that I'm going to be able to hear God better and better, I'm going to know how to express his heart better and better, then they're anticipating hearing God so well that they focus on that instead of just giving people a piece of their mind. They focus on walking in the Spirit and expressing God's heart with gentleness rather than just competing with people and pointing out their problems or being condescending or condemning or critical. See how that works. Okay, I would like you to send in from the chat room, send in some questions. Give me some examples to work with, and I'll try to give examples of how God might speak to that. Or you can call in and push number one and give me some specific examples, because I really think that God wants to make this clear. Now, here's something I would like you to write down. What I'm describing here, again, it doesn't go like this. Encouragement, correction, edification, correction, comfort, correction. It's not that you alternate these good things with correction. It's that you don't go into the area of giving correction unless you're that person's authority or have gotten approval to give this word from their authority. You learn how to be a seasoned minister. You submit yourself to mentoring, and people can help you and model for you how to speak to specific problem areas without humiliating that person, without embarrassing them, without accosting them in public. You give them such encouragement, and you build them up so much in that area as they catch God's vision to minister through them, for instance, and make that area a strength instead of a personal weakness, that person comes away from the prophetic word with a new excitement that I'm going to be strong in this area. Now, somebody wrote me back on Facebook today when I said this was the topic, and they said that they had received ministry like this, and it was 2 months later before they realized that the word had correction in it. And I would say that's probably a good thing. Why is that? Is it because I'm into false grace and I don't think we should address people's sinful areas? Oh, no. It's not that. We address it. But we address it with hope and show them how God wants to build them in that area and encourage them and empower them to be His voice or to do it His way. Excuse me, I always have to do this program after I eat. Maybe I'll just give up eating before the program. So if a person has a problem with overspending, say, instead of mortifying them by telling them that you're never going to make it through the end times because you've been sowing overspending for years and God can't bless you, or you haven't been following God's financial principles, repent, turn or burn, or how arrogant you are to think that you're going to be able to stay under God's blessing when you have been defying His financial commandments all this time. See how you can imply things like that and a person be discouraged forever. They may never get over it. There may be some truth in it, but you can't disobey God as a lifestyle and expect His blessing. But, see, that is, you might call it prophecy. I just call it a ministry of condemnation myself. You can condemn them for the ways that they have missed it and leave them wounded and bleeding on the ground. Or you can prophesy God's vision, what He wants to do through them to empower them to be either obedient in that area, an example in that area, maybe even a prototype of obeying God in that area as He makes weak places strong. So this is something that it can take years to learn. That's why we have schools for the prophets. That's why we have protocol. That's why we have accountability. And at Christian International, they actually took the trouble to record not only every prophecy for that person, to give them a copy of the prophecy so that they wouldn't misunderstand it and take off making big decisions on a misconception. But they also kept a recording for the leadership of the church, who actually had a person that was designated to listen to all the words that we gave. Why? Because if we didn't stay within the biblical protocol of edify and encourage and comfort. Then they could help us. You know, they could help us to understand how to prophesy the heart of God, because you don't have to be hearing God's voice to point out problems. In fact, you aren't, if that's the way you perceive prophecy, and that's why so many people have been hurt by, quote, prophetic ministry. What we need to hear God's voice in is how to deliver, how the power of God is coming into that person's life in a new way to make their weakness into a strength. How they can allow Christ to do it through them, and instead of it being a very difficult thing for them, it can become a gift or a talent or a ministry through them. Like I say, now people that are listening in the church may think, boy, is that prophetic person missing it. This person is the weakest one in the whole church in this area. How could they possibly be the one that God would use in this area in an outstanding way? I mean, I can't imagine it. Well, that's because prophetic ministry is often at least one of two things. Three. It can be confirming something that you've already heard from God or through another prophetic person or the illuminated word. You've already heard it, and maybe you weren't quite sure that you could ever beat all that or minister that or be called to that, and so prophetic ministry can confirm it. Prophetic ministry can also give you vision for a mission that you can only do in God's strength, and that this weak place is going to be made strong. And prophetic ministry can also help other people to believe in you and God's vision for you. For instance, if, say, a person's as wild as a buck and they're always getting into rebellion and they're kind of stubborn and they're difficult, and that's all you can see when we look at the person from the outside instead of looking upon their heart like God does. So if everybody in the church hears this person get a word saying that the Lord says that I've seen your heart for people that are in rebellion, for the prodigals, for those that have strong patterns and strongholds in their life and cannot get free. And the Lord says, I'm calling you and anointing you. And as you allow me to train you, I will establish you with mentors who will teach you how to minister to those that have spirits of rebellion and stubbornness, and those that have strongholds in their life, and those that need deliverance. And I am putting that heart to set the captives free in you, and it's me. I'm putting that heart in you to set people free from bondages and strongholds. And so I come to you today, son or daughter, to confirm that this is my heart that I'm putting in you. Now, what God didn't say, it really didn't need to be said, because that person knows and everybody that knows them knows. You've got to get rid of your own rebellious spirit first. You've got to make a commitment to make Jesus Lord of your life and not keep running away and running back and running away, and get rid of that prodigal spirit yourself and receive your own true identity in Christ. Receive God's perfect love and become devoted to Him and allow Him to love you and work through you. Okay? So actually, a lot of people have used prophetic ministry to even vent their own beast. Maybe they're impatient with fleshly behavior or carnality in the church, and so they misuse their prophetic power and authority to point out somebody's fleshly behavior or to point out carnal choices or their past and all kinds of inappropriate things. What is appropriate, and if you look in the Bible, you'll see prophetic words prophesy God's vision or mission or what He's going to do in the future. Now, there are words of correction, like Paul would send correction in the form of a letter, or he'd go himself, or he'd send Titus, he's a good problem solver, or Timothy, or and they would speak correction. But this was not just a prophetic word. I mean, they were sent, they were on a mission to act as leadership designated by the apostle, or maybe they were apostles, but they were definitely there to bring correction. That is different than the average person, man, woman, young or old, who is just giving a prophetic word and is not sent in a position to offer correction. I hope this has helped tonight. It's just the first of many teachings that I believe to offer on advanced prophetic teaching. Again, if you didn't hear the basic series of 12, please go to nowfaith.tv and click on schools, click on prophetic, and click on radio so that you can hear the first of 12 in the basic series with Prophet Rita Kimberly Phillips. Hallelujah. Now, I hope you'll call in with specific questions because there are so many ways that we can apply this. I didn't even get to the legalistic turn or burn type, but I think I alluded to it because many people use the prophetic to hit people upside the head with scripture, and it still comes across condemning or is critical and sometimes condescending. The prophetic is, again, to encourage, edify, and console. And we have got to get that straight in our heads, that if we're in a position, we have a measure of rule in that person's life. If we are their leadership, then we can offer or, if necessary, tell them to listen to this correction. However, if you are not, you must know your place in the body of Christ and trust the Holy Spirit to do the correcting. And as that person wrote on my Facebook today, I received a prophetic word for you and from you and didn't know it had a correction in it until 2 months later. And I felt like success when I heard that, because what the Holy Spirit will do is he will build that person up and bring some healing into their life, build trust in their life in such a way that when they finally realize the correcting part, they're able to receive it without being mortally wounded. It won't drive them out of the church. They won't feel like taking their dolls and going home. They'll want more relationship because they'll think, oh, I didn't know I was quenching the Holy Spirit, or, oh, I didn't know there was a better way to do that, or, oh, I didn't know that was in my own strength. And they will probably even come to you and ask you, okay, so how do I do it correctly then? Amen? Amen. Now we've got lots of callers, and it's time for you to make comments, ask questions. You can give a real example. My guidelines for that are don't mention names, and don't even say, my father said this, or my pastor said that. Try to make it general so that we don't hurt people on this program. In other words, if somebody was supposed to be, say, the visiting speaker and even have all this authority, and they were designated by the church, but they still called you out and gave you a word that just humiliated you in public, you know, what is your response supposed to be, for instance? That'd be an excellent question. Please call in and push number one so that I'll know that you have a question. Now, what I didn't do, actually that happened to me. Somebody had opportunity, for instance, all day long, because I was with them all day, to give me a corrective word if they wanted to. Instead, they waited till we were in public and said before the whole church that they thought that I walked in the flesh instead of the spirit. And I was like in shock. I thought, you had all day that you could tell me that if you really think that. Why would you want so badly to save it to say it in public? And I thought that was an excellent example of how not to do it. Because sometimes the correction that you have on your mind is true discernment, and you really do know what's going on, but that doesn't give you license to deliver it in a way that's outside biblical protocol. We need to speak the truth in love if we're led to speak it. But I'll tell you, 90% of the time, I would say, probably 95, what God tells me, I do not speak it. And we have to learn to ask the Lord, are you giving me this insight into this precious person's life so that I can pray or so that I can say something? Do I say it directly to them? Do I say it to their leadership? Or do I, quote, just pray? I want to say one more thing since nobody's pushed number one yet. Somebody asked me, well, do you, if someone ministers correction to you the wrong way and you know it, do you go to them or do you go to their leadership? And here's my answer. I didn't know this until they asked me. Hadn't thought about it. The Bible says if someone offends us, you know, to go directly to them first, then take someone with you and go back to them if they don't receive it just from you. And then go to the leadership or the church. Okay, that's about offense. If you have aught against them or they have aught against you, I think it's written both ways. However, when it comes to a person who knows biblical protocol, not obeying it, it could still be done in ignorance because, like tonight, you may have never thought about it before that you can't just alternate edifying with correction, then an encouragement, correction, consolation, and correction. And I think a lot of times when people do that, it's because they haven't had good mentoring. They have only gone so far in the teaching and they haven't had this advanced training, so we don't want to condemn them either. But in a case of a person not knowing or not obeying protocol, what I have done is I've gone to their leadership and said, did you give this person permission to minister correction? And if they say no, then I tell them, well, I understand your protocol on not ministering correction if you haven't been released to do it, and I just wanted you to know. And they'll say, yeah, I apparently need to teach on that again. And I'll say, yeah, apparently, because I just wanted you to know that there's not a thorough understanding here of what it is to minister and leave out the correction and leave out direction if you're not released to do it. And so there are levels of prophetic ministry. Anybody that God calls and gives prophetic gifting to, or I believe the Bible says the end times, man, woman, young, or old, and prophesy. Anybody can go to the edify, encourage, and console. However, there's a level of maturity from having submitted to prophetic mentoring, prophetic training, or prophetic schools, and a person that's accountable to a prophetic mentor. There's a level of maturity that's reached where you have a track record of being able to minister in edification, encouragement, and consolation clearly and prophesying to the results of what God wants to do in your life before your leadership will release you to even do correction on an individual basis after you pass it by them. It just really takes a heart of love. And a lot of times, if we're super concerned about something, maybe we're not the person to minister correction because it's bothering us so much. Maybe somebody else needs to do it. It's just a fact of life. Okay, we've got lots of callers, and I know you don't want me to just go on and on all night. So I would like to answer your questions. We can trust the Holy Spirit to give us answers. I would like to... If you have an example of either how to do it or how not to do it, please push number one now and help me out here because your examples, you know, people will remember them forever and it will really benefit our listeners. So call 917-388-4683. There's some of you that help me out every week, but I want some of you others to help me out too. I appreciate that. I really do. 917-388-4683. You really don't think I'll run out of something to say, do you? I really will. Okay, thank you. Somebody's going to help me here. Thank you. It's your turn, area code 724.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Lynn in Pittsburgh.
Oh, Lynn, thank you for helping me out here.
Sure.
What can you share with us tonight?
I've got a good one for you. Since we're talking about prophetic words, let's start with 101. How do you deal with people who have an extremely negative attitude towards prophecy, just in general, that just don't think it's for today, or what, you know, along those lines of thinking? How do you express a prophetic word with that kind of resistance with someone that doesn't even have a good attitude toward it to start with?
Do you have an answer for us, too, or do you want me to...
Oh, no, I'm just asking you.
Well, several things came to my mind, Lynn. One would be, do they want to hear anything from me? Because I'm like a people person. I'm always testing to see if they want to hear. Is the Holy Spirit leading me to say anything? But I'll tell you what I've noticed Jesus doing a lot, and the disciples doing a lot, and the apostles. They would demonstrate a thing more than discuss it or teach it. In other
Good
words,
idea.
You can teach,
I like that.
You can teach on miracles for a solid week, but if you do one, it can change people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you can do it in your own strength. But I think the same things with prophecy. For instance, I grew up in a denomination that was dead set against prophetic. I hardly had ever even heard of it because it wasn't even mentioned. And I didn't know certainly that I was. One, I just knew that I knew things, and I couldn't explain how I knew it. But what I found was, even in some denominations that don't believe in prophetic or spiritual gifts, if you just demonstrate it without any fanfare, no teaching, don't let them, or don't start a debate on theology about it. Just demonstrate it. For instance, I used to go to a wonderful camp. I understand they're not all like this, but I used to go to Camp Farthest Out. And there was a leadership team there that would demonstrate spiritual gifts all week long very quietly. Just very quietly. All the practical gifts of serving and helping and administrating by the Spirit, and the verbal gifts too. And so there wasn't any big theological teachings, like can you think of a time in the Bible when Jesus taught on tongues or taught on prophecy? There's not much. He just did it. We're not even sure if he spoke in tongues, but there was a time that he spoke, and the language that he spoke in has never been traced to a specific language, so that might have been the time. But I would say it's kind of like love better felt than told.
Uh-huh.
If you can just demonstrate great faith or demonstrate, and I tell you, just to get more practical in my answer would be that we have found that we can be invited to pray for people in a denomination that's closed to prophecy usually, but if we just keep praying for person after person, they're eventually going to say, how did you know exactly what to pray without us telling you?
Uh-huh.
And they begin to open up.
Uh-huh.
And you still don't make a big deal of it because it'll scare them. You still just say, well, I just ask God what to pray for each of you. That's all.
Okay.
And eventually they'll think, well, I would like to know how to pray for people. And they see the practicality of it.
Uh-huh.
But some people are just against spiritual gifts. They're just against. And we would have to, I guess, pray loosing and binding prayers to loose in this case means to destroy, lacerate, you loose them from the bad things, to loose them from quenching the Holy Spirit anyway and binding them to receiving everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through them.
Okay, that's a great idea also.
Any other ideas?
No, you just gave me two great ones.
Well, it's an excellent question, and I think that a lot of times people, if they see it, they'll begin to believe it. Here's my testimony. I was raised in a denomination that was closed to spiritual gifts, and when my friends started going to a church back in 91 and 2 that emphasized the Holy Spirit, I was just sure that they had all gotten off the path. And not only did they emphasize the Holy Spirit, then I found out they were emphasizing prophecy, and they thought they could prophesy. Then I was sure they had gotten off the path. But I really, really, really respected these people. So my girlfriend and I started attending that church about once every 3 months. And we could not deny that it was the power of God, that it wasn't divination, it wasn't Satan, because they would just prophesy things that it confirmed, the vision or mission or calling or gifting that God had given to us and how he's going to heal us of things. And they wouldn't like embarrass us, but kind of allude to things that he's going to heal us from. And I personally was glad that they weren't more specific. I knew what they're talking about. God didn't need to, like, paint the picture in public. But I knew, I began to know that prophetic was real by observing it.
Huh? I've noticed when I'm around people that are very that believe in the gifts but are hostile to things like prophecy, they believe in some gifts but not that particular gift itself. I notice that the Lord does not give me words to give to these people, so I guess what I need to do then is the loosing and the binding first, and then wait on the Lord to give me a word for them and then demonstrate it without talking about it.
Well, and the word that he may give you for them is to love them or to demonstrate grace, or maybe to demonstrate something else, you know, faith for miracles or healing or something else. And especially where family is concerned, I just tell people, just enjoy them. Do not try to convince them that your prophetic calling or walk is God. Just leave it alone. Just enjoy them. Just love them.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that the first thing that went through my mind was the point you just made. When you asked this question, the first thing that went through my mind is that when I'm around people and they know that I'm prophetic, I can feel it big time, whether they're drawing a word of God out of me or whether they're pushing it away, I can feel it.
Mm-hmm. I notice when I'm around prophetic people, I'm more prophetic, and when I'm around people that are hostile to it, I can go for a long time and not have anything supernatural go through my spirit.
Personally, I think that God's that way in a sense, not that he has any weaknesses or anything, but I believe that when we want to hear from God and we sit down, we make time, not that you can't hear God on the hoof and on the go, but I think the more we listen, whether we're driving or whether we're giving him our more focused attention, I believe the more we listen, the more he'll say. So in a sense, God is like that. He knows whether we're pulling on him to say more to us or whether we're too busy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I think those are excellent, excellent questions. And we can just pray right now if you want.
Sure.
Father, I just thank you for Lynn. In her heart to be your voice, in her heart to operate in the gift of prophecy. And you commanded us all to covet or desire earnestly the best gift, and you designate prophecy in that. So, Lord, we choose to obey you. We honestly do desire the best gift. We desire to be your voice to others, to minister your heart, your way, and in your timing to others. And Lord, we don't want to be those people that are so busy correcting people or fine-tuning, micromanaging, getting things perfect that the person doesn't feel loved. So we say we are your love to others, that we are your word to others. We choose to receive the mentors that you would bring our way. And I thank you, Lord, for the new connections that you're giving to Lynn, even though she's in an area that there may not be seemingly that many opportunities for mentoring. We thank you for the new connections that you've brought recently and that you will bring, that as she looks for them and listens, that she will find that you have been faithful to bring people her way who care about her gifting, her calling, and developing that in her, not just building their own kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that she will have her own tailor-made, custom-made little school of the prophets with them, and that she will be able to grow and rejoice, and that you've provided a greenhouse environment, even if sometimes it seems like it's a school just for one or two, that you have provided that for her, and you're faithful. And we thank you, God, that you don't leave us to flounder, but you believe in making disciples, and that didn't go out with Jesus, but that you have people in Lynn's life to disciple her, and she will know how to disciple others and to grow them up and mentor them and have many children, just many children, spiritual children in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Well, if you have a testimony to share, I hope you'll send it to us. The address is CWT, that stands for Crosswalk Talk, CWT at CWLINC.com, that stands for Crosswalk Life, Inc. So it's CWT at CWLINC.com. Thank you for calling. I hope you have a blessed night and prophetic dreams, too. Well, I just want to praise God that he is faithful and he does connect us with people who are maybe just on the same path we're on or a little bit further down the path, people that can be instrumental in helping us to see our blind spots and yet not have that condescending, condemning motivation in there, people that do edify and console and exhort. I just keep saying that over and over. I know you're never going to forget it after tonight. And we just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. And I thank you that we'll all choose to have open eyes and open ears so that we can learn the easy way, amen? We can learn the easy way, and we don't have to have some leader come along and give us correction, amen? Hallelujah. Okay, need y'all to call in and help me out here with some specific comments, questions, or maybe a story, if it's short now. Area code 469, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing? It's Kanisha.
I am doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm grateful for this program.
Okay. What's up?
I wanted to say I've been around people who have prophesied really hostile and critical, even to the point of saying things like God is like you're going to die if you don't submit and things like that. And so it will cause a lot of fear to be embedded in people. Mm. And even myself, I had to fight through the fear. But now it kind of makes me afraid, even when I know God is saying something to me, to share it, because now I'm always trying to be very, very careful about what I say to somebody that God is saying, because I've seen it tear people down and really hurt them in ways. So I want to know how can I be more confident in sharing what the Lord is sharing with me.
That was my question too, Kanisha. I started a prophetic start attending a prophetic school. I think it was in 1992 or three. And I had to go like every Thursday night for like 12 weeks so I had any level of confidence that I wouldn't just make mistakes and hurt people. I was very concerned too. And but having that opportunity to get, we had 45 minutes of teaching. Then we had 45 minutes of what we call practice. We all had to promise that we wouldn't make any big decisions based on what another student prophesied to us. But we've got a safe place to practice. And so that's ideal. If you can ask the Lord for a school of the prophet or invite me or somebody to come and hold one, even if it's all in one weekend, that's an ideal format too, because you get so many opportunities to practice in a couple of days that you build up your confidence quickly. But here's something listeners can do that where God has not provided a way. Like I say, you can invite me to hold a prophetic school. There's probably somebody that can come to your area. But here's something else. That address that I just gave to hearing the prophetic training teachings with Prophet Rita Kimberly Phillips, anybody with a computer can access that. Yeah, have you already listened to some of those?
Yeah, I started last night.
All right. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Now, have you had any experience with people doing it the right way, where they ministered to you and there was correction in it, but it did not do any harm?
Yeah, you.
Can you explain the difference to you? I don't want to put you on the spot, but how?
No, it's fine. I felt loved, regardless. And also Apostle Diane Nutt, she's given me a prophetic word before, too. And then, but it was his Lord. What he gave to you was, I don't know if you saw a picture, but you explained it. About the car and me moving too fast and the way you shared it, I was so excited about the whole thing. And even when it was revealed that God was saying, sometimes you move too fast and I need to slow you down a bit. And so he was saying that I get in there and I slow you down a little bit. But even when it was revealed, oh, that was correction. I took it as, wow, Lord, you really love me. That's the way.
In the context of love,
it's
easier.
That's the way I received it, and that's the way it came across. And even, you know, even when the Lord, it was his voice. It was more familiar, because when the Lord corrects me, it's gentle, but yet I get it. And it's like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. But it's not like he's cutting me up and leaving me to bleed, you know? And that's how I felt when you gave the prophetic word. It was about 2 months later before I realized, oh, that was correct to me. But
I know exactly
what you're
saying. It's happened to me many times. I'm overwhelmed with God's love and encouragement and confirmation, and it's not till later that I realize, oh, he wouldn't have needed to say this other part to me if I was already getting it right. He's telling me he's going to help me get it right in the future. See, God's love casts out fear. So if I'm really ministering his heart and his love by his spirit, the person should be less fearful than more fearful.
Yes. One way that I share with people, I call it prophecy, but even if I see something that seems to be out of order, I'll find what God has done in me and through me, and I'll just tell my story. I won't even make it about them at all. I'll just tell my story, and that person will be like, wow, you just helped me a lot.
There you go. If a testimony is given, then it shows them like the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're all learning. Jesus himself never sinned, but it said he still had to learn. He actually had to learn obedience. He didn't learn it the hard way like we do by being disobedient, But he still had to learn. And that's amazing how God himself would have to learn. But anyway, who can explain God? But when we minister his love, then that will cure almost everything, because people just need to know they're loved. And then they won't have to rebel. They won't have to be proving themselves all the time, competing and, you know, comparing and all that stuff. They'll be able to just settle into who God wants to be through them.
Yes. Yes.
God gave me a word like that, too. He told me through somebody a couple years ago that he was going to slow me down and speed my husband up. I didn't know what that would mean, but I do now. I do now. He just kind of gave me a little heads up.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much.
Any other insights?
No, but I have a whole lot of questions, but I said, I have a whole lot of questions, but I'll take up all your time, so I'll just...
No, we just have two other callers right now, so you can have another question.
Okay. Is there, like, sometimes the Lord will give dreams that are showing about things that are going to happen. I heard you speak earlier, and you were saying that... you were saying that something to say, and some things you're not supposed to say, like when you're given a prophetic word.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, how can you tell what you're supposed to say or not say? When I hear from the Lord, I don't hear. It's like things come out of my mouth, and before I know it, it's just. I'm saying it.
Okay, well, probably because as you listen to the guideline teachings and the basic teachings, you'll learn a lot. And then as you listen to these more advanced things, because this isn't real tangible, what we're talking about tonight. You almost have to have been there. Corrects you in a harsh way, then you're more aware of what we're talking about tonight and the importance of it. But you learn... several things. Here's some tips that I give people when they're starting to hear God for others. One is a lifestyle of believing that we have the power to silence, bind, shut up every other spirit but the Holy Spirit. So then I can be confident that I'm only hearing from the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Not some spirit of divination. I also have to check my own motivations. Am I trying to be the shining star of the church and have the most specific prophecies and words of knowledge, or am I content to only say what the Father says to say?
Okay.
See, I seldom give a word in a congregation. Almost everything I get is for an individual because of the nature of the restoration ministry that I do. So if I'm feeling a word in a congregation, then I'm definitely go on to step number three, and that is to say, Lord, am I supposed to say it out loud or just intercede? Because both are very, very effective. You don't have to say things out loud for them to have effect. And I love to teach on that, too, to have little experiments. Saying, God, do you want me to experiment with this? Do you want to tell me things and me to pray it or declare it or speak it over that person or break the power of it over that person without saying anything out loud? And do you want to teach me the power of repeating the rhema or spoken word of God but not say it out loud? That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. You can just be sitting in church, and I've had it happen to me. The people that trained me to do restoration prayer ministry are Chester and Betsy Kilstra. And they're generals in the body of Christ in the area of restoration and intercession and counseling. And Chester was sitting behind me in church one day, and they had an altar call for people to come up for prayer about rejection. And I was sitting there thinking, I am not going forward for the 150th time about rejection. You know, I'm going to take it by faith and just sit right here, and I just didn't go up front. I could feel Chester's prayers. He never said a word out loud. But that altar call went on for two forevers. And I just kept sitting there. And I knew Chester was praying for me. And I felt arrogant to even think he's focusing on me, you know. But as soon as it was over, I just turned right around, looked him in the eye, and I said, I didn't hear a word of that prayer. And he said, you didn't need to. And so he was showing me, you don't have to say everything out loud.
Okay.
The important thing is to ask God if I should say this out loud.
Okay.
And to have confidence in the fact that the important thing is to do it God's way. And delivery is very important. How do I deliver this? Do I deliver it to them, to their leadership, in writing, verbally, through prayer, or just wait?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if God can trust you with the tender hearts of his children, he will tell you more.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get too full of ourselves and we want everybody to know how insightful we are,
mm-hmm.
and we've just got to share our insights with the intercessors group when God didn't say to share it.
Yeah.
Because we've got to share his, we've got to touch his glory. See, we got, people just have to know how prophetic we are, then he's not going to tell us too much. Because our heart isn't really to be his love for others, and our heart isn't really just to say what the Father says to say. We want to look good.
Yeah.
So when we get over ourselves, then he can trust us, because I don't know if you have any children or not, but when you have a new baby, you're very careful about who you let babysit.
Yes.
And that's how God feels about us. He is not going to reveal the dark areas of our heart to somebody that
that's good.
Is going to talk when they're supposed to be silent. They may use the excuse that I've got to have prayers of agreement to tear down this stronghold. But if God didn't say tell anybody, then the strongest prayer you can have is just to agree with him. That's a prayer of agreement right there.
Wow.
So a lot of what people are calling prophecy is just dressed up gossip, showing off in church.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've said enough.
That's good. That is good.
I mean, look around. When you see the generals, when you see the generals in the faith, I mean, like the Kilstras, Chuck Pierce, Dutch Sheets, Cindy Jacobs, people that are super prophetic, that change nations when they speak. But they may not say much. When you're around them, they may be so quiet and not say much.
Mm-hmm.
They only say it out loud if God says to say it out loud.
I have somebody really close to me that the person speaks to, it be true what they're saying, but they're so harsh and critical,
mm-hmm.
and I've dealt with it all my life, and last year the Lord had me to separate myself from that person, 2 years ago, and he began to just, everything was about love. He kept teaching me about love. And then he started to show me that even though you have gifts, if you have not love,
amen,
then it's nothing. And it's really hurting people more than helping people. And I would constantly be feeling like a failure, like I'm never going to get this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying, but everything I do wrong, every single thing is pointed out. And
wow.
So it's like, am I going to ever do anything right, Lord? I thought that the Lord was I thought that it was the Lord. Like, oh my
God, you thank God,
you like
serious?
Yeah. It's like everything I do, you see all the wrong things, so then it makes you feel like I'm never going to get this right. But
well,
I thank God.
I want to quickly differentiate again, saying that in a family discussion, like I can remember when we used to have a family conference, I go, oh no, you know, and the children are going to be in trouble, you know. There are places for authority figures to correct those that are under them. Parents should certainly give correction in love to their children. Pastors have to correct members or churches. I'm not saying there's no place for correction. But when that person starts feeling beat up, shamed, put down, discouraged, then something's missing. They should definitely get the feeling that you are on their side when you correct them. Like, you don't want them to be the last one to know. Or maybe they're trying too hard. Say they're performance-oriented, and they're just trying too hard, and you want to let them know, God already loves you perfectly. You don't have to try so hard. And yet we want to obey God.
Yeah.
Maybe they feel like every job in the church is theirs, and you want to let them know it's not. But you correct them in such a way that you're not accusing them, you're just saying, I want to release you from the false responsibility that if it's not being done, you have to. I just want to release you from that today and set you free to only do what the Father says for you to do.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Very important questions. And actually, Kanisha made the most important point tonight. If it's not done in love, it won't work. It's got to be in love.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your perfect love for Kanisha.
Thank you,
Lord. And that you are showing her how to be, not just do, not just impart, but to be your love to others. And then even perfect strangers, that as her desire grows to be your love to others, that even perfect strangers will feel it. People that have never known the Father's love, never known a real nurturing mother's love without strings and manipulation or control or domination, they will know your perfect love just being around her. I thank you, Lord, that she'll have a ministry that doesn't even always need words, because there's a true impartation that comes from it. There's an overflow, that she will be that vessel of honor that is filled and overflowing with all the fruit of the Spirit, any gift that's needed, and with words if necessary. And that people hunger to know you intimately, Lord, will increase around her. And as they have that hunger to know you intimately, the sins will fall away. Their habits and addictions will fall away. Their bondages and strongholds will fall away as it's replaced with intimacy with you, a hunger to be an expression of you, and as she is a demonstration of your heart and your power, God, that people will be able to identify not only who God is, but who they are, and to enter into your rest. Enter into your rest, and we thank you, Father, and just thank you. Now, if you'll take note of what time it is, any of you that receive prayer or word tonight, you take note of what time it is, and I encourage you to go back once the download kicks in, that's within 30 minutes after the program, and, you know, pick back up about the time that it started and write it out, because when God speaks to us, we need to count it precious. We need to get out pen and paper and use that play and pause button and write it out so that we don't get a distorted memory of what it was. We get every word of it, because little words can make a big difference in a prophecy. Like if I had prophesied to Kanisha, millions of dollars will come through your hands, and she heard it to your hands, it's a big difference, isn't it?
Yes.
Every little word makes a difference. And when you write it out, then you can, what we war with it. And that means you just keep reading and declaring that word until it manifests.
Thank you, Father.
And depends on how much you believe it. It might come true a little sooner. Now, some things aren't going to come true immediately, no matter what, because God has a way of prophesying. All in one paragraph, he can prophesy things that happen over time. Or happen in several different ways over time. I've had things that were prophesied, and I thought it was already fulfilled, and it was prophesied and fulfilled a different way later on. But I just thank you for Kanisha, Lord, and I thank you that she will be one that will rightly divide your word, spoken word and written word, to others.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
I thank you for calling. I hope you'll call in again.
Thank you so much for everything.
Okay.
Oh.
Be blessed.
I love this.
To have our students interact.
Awesome.
Yeah. I encourage this is for every one of you, after you receive or listen to a audio or video at our nowfaith.tv Ministry Training School or Prophetic School, after you go and listen to one of those classes, audio or video, that you send me a paragraph. I call it testimony homework. I want to know what you got out of it. Sometimes people don't understand what I'm trying to say, and they actually get something that I didn't want them to get. You know, it's not right, so I have to correct it. But I love to hear the testimonies of how the Holy Spirit is performing his word in you and through you. Amen? Amen. Let's see, we've got a couple more callers here. Let me see who this is. I'm going to call out your area code, and you can give your name and location if you like. Area code 414, welcome to the program.
Hi, Prophet Carlotta. It's Shara. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Shara?
I'm good. I love the prophetic, and I just love to hear about it. And this whole correction and direction thing that you're talking about, I just think that if people get training, like you're talking about, I know for me, when I found out what my calling was and someone prophesied to me, and I didn't even know where to go with that or what it meant. And I started praying, and God led me to a school of the prophets. And I just thank God for that, because I didn't know where to go with any of it or how it even operated or what it even meant or how to do it. And so,
I didn't either.
And I just thank the Lord that he sent me there, because I probably would have ruined a few lives myself. And so I just always thank him that he, you know, once he said what my calling was, that he showed me what to do about it and to be trained by it. And then I had the opportunity to be a moderator on the school and to actually see how you can watch people kind of metamorphosis from, you know, that correction and direction into really loving words, because they just didn't know they were doing it. And so I just wanted to say thank the Lord for the school of the prophets. That's what I want to say.
Amen. And if you ask God where the nearest one is, or start attending it by audio and video on NowFaith TV.
Absolutely. So I was just listening to you, you know, talk about training, and I say ditto to that one. So that was my comment, basically. It's get training, because
even if you've already
been
to a ministry training school?
Me?
Even though you've already been to a ministry training school?
Oh, my gosh. I went to the number one, you know, which I think, am I allowed to say who is the author of the curriculum?
You can say, you can say good things. We just don't criticize people on the air.
The author of the curriculum is Dr. Hammond, and I just love his stuff. And
that's where I went to school.
Yeah, that's the training that I got, too, is through CI. And I just thank God for Dr. Hammond, for Dr. Bill Hammond. And just his whole book series is so incredible. And so for now. And it's,
well, let's
just
say
you,
what that is. There's a trilogy
called,
that he wrote.
Yeah, exactly. And
Prophets,
I did
Personal Prophecy and Pitfalls.
Mm-hmm.
But that red book, the first one on personal prophecy, will answer almost
Fantastic.
Every question a person has. He just goes through the Bible, shows you where you've been reading about it all along and didn't know it. Because most of the time, for instance, most of us that were raised in believing only in God's written word and that there isn't any more spoken word, so we read every verse that mentions the word of God as the written word. But if we look it up in the Greek, we find out there are probably a whole lot of the verses that we're quoting about the word of God. It's actually talking about a current living word, spoken.
Rhema.
Rhema.
Beautiful.
Good example. His books are the best that I know of. If you haven't got the personal prophecy book, that Dr. Bill or Bishop Hammond, H-A-M-O-N, wrote in your library is not complete. Because no matter what your calling and gifting, vision, or mission is, you need to know how to hear God's voice.
Amen. I remember the first time I heard it, and I read it before in the scripture, when it said, his sheep hear his voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And then when they put it into the context of prophecy, it's like, whoa, Lord, that is a revelation for me, because you just kind of read over that and you're not really taking it personally. But when they're teaching it in that context that it's actually supposed to be in, it was like a rhema for me just hearing
that.
It's like, whoa.
That's what that book is. It explains to you that what you've been interpreting as written word all along is actually God speaking. I just put a link up in the chat room, too, about verses on spiritual vision. A lot of times we think of that's just something that happened in the Old Testament. You know, I'm not John the Revelator or Daniel the prophet or Joseph, you know, and I don't have these visions. But you'd be surprised how many you can have if you believe in them and ask for them. So I put a whole long list of verses on, you can see God's message, too, not just hear it.
I love that. So I just wanted to call in and just give a kudos, because thank God for training. And because I've seen, I know for at my church that I went to, I had asked my pastor if I could do the School of the Prophets, and he read all the curriculum from Bill Hammond, and he was like, oh, this is great, sure. And then we'd ask him, would you come and would you tell us what you want for protocol, so that, you know, people that are going through the school would want to know what they're supposed to do, because you're the man of the house. And he was really gracious, and he did that. And so I asked him, would he teach a message? And then could we ask the Lord, you know, to give a word on the message that he gave, and then give it to him and ask him to judge it? And it was so beautiful. It was just awesome. So
that
I just
humility
think that
goes a long way with pastors when they know you're submitted, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
They feel much better.
Absolutely.
A lot of people wonder why their pastor doesn't let them do more, but the first thing I would say to check is, first of all, does God want me doing more inside the walls of the church, or maybe he wants you doing things somewhere else? And I think that's the case. In my case, I can't teach weekly in every church in town, you know. And so, like this fall, I'm going to be teaching at the Center for Biblical Studies here at Tallahassee, Florida. If you need to relocate to attend the center, that would be worth it. And
wow, that's awesome.
Also holding a training school in a nearby town. So there's two nights a week right there, and we can't all be everywhere. But I just want to encourage everybody that's listening now or in the downloads that if you feel like God might be encouraging you to host a training school, don't think that you can't. Now, you can't speak for your pastor, for instance. If you want to invite us to hold a ministry training or prophetic training school or restoration prayer ministry training school at your church, then you need to talk to your pastor, like Shar just demonstrated, and have it come through the invitation through the pastor. If you click on crosswalklife.com, our main website, and click on seminars, then you'll see a form that you can fill out saying, I would like to host a training school. Now, here's the thing. If the pastor says that he's not interested in hosting it, but it's okay for you to host it, then you can say, well, this is what happened. Was it last year? There was a ladies' Bible study that only had 15 ladies, and they said, would you be willing to come and hold a two-day training seminar for us? And I said, sure. The only limitation is, because it was a couple thousand miles away, I said, you've got to be able to fly me out there and put me up and feed me and all, and then we'll do the rest on donation basis. And they said, sure, we can do that. So the only limitation on a small group hosting a training school is that you believe God for the ability to get me there, because I can't pay for me going everywhere. You've got to have the faith yourself. They want me to have the faith for the money. I said, no, you have the faith for the money to get me there. But these small training schools are actually ideal. You can have a dozen people. You can have 10 people. What we need is just enough for a bunch of people to be able to pair up and have somebody to practice with and practice on.
Oh, absolutely.
It's hard to have a training school when you're by yourself, because who are you going to prophesy to?
It's so amazing, because, you know, you were saying you went to that 12-weeker, and I think my first one was 12 weeks, too, and I just remember I was so scared for the first 3 weeks, but then after that I started to get a little more comfortable, and then by the end of the 12 weeks, I mean, God gave me a confidence that I was hearing, not that I knew everything, but that I could be confident that I was hearing his voice. And
yes.
I really knew that in my heart.
Everybody started like that. You know, people that are famous now that are very confident prophetically started somewhere in training.
Absolutely.
Somewhere.
And I just remember our homework, we always had it. We had X amount of words. And I remember the first time I had to go out, I was scared. I was scared, and I kept making up all these excuses. And I said, Lord, I don't go that many places. And he's like, well, you go to the gas station, and you go to Walgreens, and you go to the health club.
Good point.
I just started praying, and he never let me down. There was always someone who allowed me to speak to them. And I think another thing is asking permission, because I feel if you're not going to ask permission, you don't have a right to butt in their life. And so I just thank God I had the training that said, hey, don't you dare go out there and don't you dare not ask for permission. Because if you don't ask for permission, then all you're doing is divination. And I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do that kind of stuff. I want it to be from you. And people were so gracious. I think I only had 2 people all that time, because I went to, you know, the first, I think I went there for 5 years. Because I kept doing them over and over again because I loved them so much. And I don't think there was ever a time, because I would always ask in love, hey, do you want to hear what God has to say to you today? I just really feel God wants to build you up today. He wants to talk to you. Would you be willing to hear that? Would you be willing to listen? And they'd always say yes. Very rarely they wouldn't.
That's
so,
right. And you don't even have to say that much, because I don't want people to feel pressured that they're shutting God out if they don't listen to me. But I think one of my more recent examples, like you say, well, I want to say this just to echo what you just said. Somebody was criticizing me the other day, implying that I think I'm a super prophet, and I just had to chuckle because it's never crossed my mind. I think when we hear God's voice, it's just a normal Christian life, that we can learn that that's normal, and we don't have to feel like we're anybody special, although we're all special to God. And I like your example of just ask God who's next, and it can be at the store, the gas station, or wherever. And I had ordered some fish the other day, and the person that was bringing it to me, I just asked God, do you have something to say to her? Because I've hardly found anybody that God won't talk to. And so I just gave her this real short encouraging word, and this is what I want our listeners to hear. It can be just one or two sentences and change a life.
Amen. But amen.
Sometimes shorter is better. And so I just gave her this short word. In fact, I believe in being super gentle because I have a natural tendency to be too direct. And so I asked God to be, you know, help me be gentle. And so I just asked her if she had an inclination this direction, and she said yes. And I said, well, I think I've heard the Lord saying that he has called you to be that. And she almost started crying right then and there.
Oh, that's
awesome. I didn't have to describe her whole future, where, when, what, and how. It was a confirmation. And that will give her permission to believe it's God and not just a wild fantasy on her part.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome. I know
so
for
what
me,
we
too,
want
yeah,
to do with this program, we don't want to make it big and unattainable to people. We just are saying that your heart, check your heart, check your motivation. Make sure that your motivation in sharing something is that God said to say it out loud. He said it would edify, encourage, and console. Ask him how much to say. Oh, that's another thing, Char. A whole lot of times he tells me the whole background of the thing, but he says, oh, don't say any of that. Just say this.
I love it. That's pretty cool.
But most of the time he doesn't tell me the background, too. When I'm giving words on the radio, don't think I know your whole life. I don't. I don't know anything more than what he told me, usually.
That's pretty cool. I know, too, what you're saying about the whole super prophet thing, you know, when someone said that to you. You know, I just think that sometimes the enemy just sends people out because he just wants to crush that in us. You know, he doesn't want us to step out. And what a great way to try to crush you, you know, to say that to you, because it takes courage to step out and give words to people because you want to share the heart of God. And I just remember, you know, giving someone my first word and saying, wow, I just knew. It made me cry because I was like, wow, that is the Father's heart. And it made me cry because I was like, wow, you really care about that person, Lord. That is so cool. Now I get what it means about the Father's heart. And there was this guy across the street at the gas station, and I wasn't even thinking about giving a word. And he was like, I want you to tell that kid that I am his father and I have a destiny for him. And so I said, would you mind if I shared with you about, I believe the Lord has something really neat to say to you. And he said, yes. And I told him that very simple thing and kind of what you're saying. He started to cry and he's like, you know, I didn't even feel like I had a purpose anymore. And he said, you don't even know what those couple sentences did for me that made me think that God cares about me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank God for the prophetic.
another point that you're inspiring me to say is not to argue with God. I was always arguing with God that this word is too short or it's too long, too specific or too general. I always had a better idea of how to do it. And I had to learn that just to give what I hear.
Amen.
Or give what I see. Now, you can ask God, is there any more? Because sometimes we kind of quit listening after we get the first thing. And sometimes there is more. But don't try to add to it so that you'll look better or super or you'll have the most specific word of knowledge or wisdom or anything. Just ask God, is there more? And if there's not, be content. And also, if it sounds very, very generic, don't argue with God and edit it. It can sound very generic. Like I was at a restaurant and the server was a male. And I just kept looking at him, and my host was looking at me. She said, "You're getting a word for that guy, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I noticed you couldn't take your eyes off of him." And when he came back, I asked him, I said, "This is what I usually say. Yeah, I said, I'm pretty good at hearing God for other people. Would you like to hear what I think I'm hearing for you? You know, I don't like to make it sound like you've got to listen to this or you're bad." And he said, "Sure." And so I just told him that the Father says that I'm very aware of the fathering that you did not get as a child. And I want you to know tonight that I would like the opportunity of fathering
wow.
you and reparenting you
wow.
in the way that
That's
you
powerful.
Didn't get. If you would give me permission, I would like to father you myself.
Wow.
Well, he's all so touched by it. And he says, "I know that you don't know that your father, my father walked out on me as a boy." You know,
wow.
and I'm like, what? You know? But
that
see how long
really,
that
really
took,
powerful.
Like 45 seconds. And it changed
wow.
his perspective of God.
Oh, that's so awesome. Wow. That's like kind of like a speechless word. You know, it's like, wow, that's like a cut to the heart. If someone has even
God
a hard does. Heart, they've been rejected. Wow. Whew.
Well, that's he me. Has also given me words, but I don't think this is for everybody. I think you've got to know that you've been mentored and that you're sure that you're sure that you're hearing God for some words, like a few years into this, not right away. He had me start out a prophetic word to someone saying, "I chose your parents, you know." And they burst into tears. And I'm standing there thinking, now, God, I knew that they would start crying if I told them that, because that's their whole deal. They don't know how loving God could choose these parents for them. And God says, "I know, but we need to deal with that. We need to answer that question. Did I really choose these parents for you?" Whew. Heavy duty. So God's not going to give you a word like that, you know, in year one or two, I don't think. But he might.
No.
I think they're progressing.
No, I don't think so. No way. Oh, my gosh.
Because
wow,
you open the can of worms, and then what? Well, you better have the power of God flowing through you to heal once you open that up.
Oh, my gosh. Weren't you saying, I don't know if you said this last week or the week before, that some people give a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, but they don't give the rest of it and what, you know, God wants to do about it. They stop. And it can sound really harsh. Did you say that a couple weeks ago?
I don't know, but what I would say tonight in relation to that, thank you, is that the first few years I got to give the fun prophecies where you prophesy to people their gifts and calling, and they love it, and they come back for more, and they want to hear all about their vision and gifts and calling. But eventually people will say, "Don't tell me any more of that. Tell me how to get from here to there. You know, how do I get from here to there?" And so that's mostly what I do now. See, again, you've got to know how to encourage them, edify them, and console them so they can get from here to there without wounding them with too much correction. So that
mm-hmm.
now they're scared off again.
Yeah.
God
knows that's what's so great about activations. Like you were talking about activations. That's what's so beautiful about them. And then you can kind of make all your mistakes on your friends.
Yeah, well, I've got
like
another caller. But
okay.
I want to thank
about
you,
that.
Char, for making, so many good points. I want to encourage everyone. You could be a student in our ministry training school online like Char is. Like Kanisha's
absolutely.
Doing. I think we've got Valerie coming up on the line here, or maybe it's another student, I think, from California is on the line. You can be in an interactive relationship with us. You don't have to despair that if you don't have ministry training in your area. You can do it over the phone and online like we're doing. I thank you, Char, for calling. That was very, very encouraging. Thank you.
Oh, Thanks for taking my call. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, one more caller. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have these forever relationships. Do you realize whether you feel like you're the mentor or mentoree or both, whether you're the student or the teacher, the prophet or the receiver, that these relationships we're forming are forever. And not only that, but I feel like just very shortly, probably by next month, you're going to be glad that you have these relationships, because we're going to need each other more than ever before. Area code 310, welcome to the program.
Yes, Patty from Los Angeles.
Patty,
and,
how are you doing?
Well, just enjoyed the program very much, and some things I were thinking of people have said far more eloquently. One thing I was thinking that when one gives a word, they may say the right words, but if it's difficult for them, a tone, you know, when it goes back to true love, people are sensitive not only to what is said, but how it is said.
Yes.
And one thing that was a bit instructive for me, I just felt that prophecy was not my calling, that mine was more an accessory, perhaps. But I realized that so many times people have spoken to me, and God has very clearly let me know what the problem is and why it exists, and I don't know how much to say. So graduating, or perhaps expanding, not graduating, from prayer to also speaking with someone, and the difference between kind of word of knowledge and what to share, and a prophetic word for thus says the Lord, which is not something I have experienced for people. But sometimes Lord will lead me to share like restorative prayer ministry or Bible verses.
Yes.
To share, this is, you know, I feel that, you know, like maybe this is an issue, and then if they are receptive to talk about that.
Amen. It's important to be sensitive to where people are starting from. Maybe one verse is the key for them.
Yes. And I think for me, because I don't have that, to be clear, that this is not something God has told me. I think there's a difference between a prophet that hears a word from God that specifically says to say something. And
well, there's a word of encouragement or exhortation where you more or less say it in your own words, but you give people a word of encouragement that's just as important.
Yes. And I think, you know, that, and as other people said, having courage, but I know that sometimes I have had prophecy that was general and prophecy where people said, the Lord has said. And I think that's a differentiation people should be careful of until they are at that point.
Good point. Good point. And you can also ask questions. You can say, like I said to this server the other day, have you, do you have a love for music? And she said, yes. And I said, I think I hear the Lord saying that he created you to worship him, to be his little worshiper. And she almost started crying. But I started off with a question.
Well, and I think, you know, you and then maybe some of us, or at least myself, others may be called in a different way and also have more experience. It's just very, you know, very different as we learn and take advantage of mentors and school that God makes available to us.
Right, right.
So not saying
a lot,
that, you know, someone else shouldn't, but some of us who are just starting out, perhaps.
Well, and I've been in it for over 20 years now, and I still like to start off with questions, because if I've got to pressure people, that's no good. I want them, it's not that I'm not confident of what I'm hearing, but like the whole restoration counseling that I do, most of the prophetic ministry that I do in that is asking the right questions. I pretty well already know the answers prophetically, but it's important for the receiver in counseling to think about that question and to answer it and decide on their own if they want prayer for it, rather than me just hand them a list and say, you need prayer for all these things.
Yeah. And one thing I personally found very helpful is, as you suggest to people, that they write down word for word and read it again. Because I think what we think we may hear and then what was actually said can be different. And with time and prayer, it takes a bigger form or more understanding. So I found that teaching very helpful.
Amen. And I believe that I'm not the only one that's super self-conscious when I'm receiving a word. If possible, I either have pen and paper handy, or if it's being recorded like this, you can note the time and go back and listen. But I also have a small handheld recorder that's about as big as two fingers that I try to have with me if I anticipate being around prophetic people getting a word. Because here's the thing, I usually only remember like one out of a dozen points that was made. You know, I get self-conscious and I don't even remember the rest of them.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Well, I just believe in being prepared. So I've got my own little recorder, because it's my policy to try not to prophesy to people unless I also have a way of recording it, because I don't want them to hear just one-tenth of it or to hear it backwards or anything. And it's just worth it. You can get a cheaper cassette recorder from Walmart. But these days, there are so many digital recorders. Mine cost about $60 or $70, I guess, where you can upload things even to the Internet or to Facebook. But it's worth it. The Word of God, it's worth it to get it right.
Yes. And another thing that has been so helpful when I've had words or counseling is, you have some information, but there is always what you can do. So if there is some knowledge of a situation, and it may not even be an admonishment, but knowledge, or some gentle correction in words, that it's for a reason, it's for a greater purpose, which will elevate one and for one's growth and joy in the Lord.
And I want to point out, Patty, if I could, that you have a ministry in the marketplace. It's not just your average, typical business person ministry in the marketplace, but it's not a pulpit ministry. You know, and you have, the Lord says, I'm giving you more and more influence in the marketplace and to know how to empower others. And while the Lord says, I've told you this before, I don't want you to forget that this is a legitimate, powerful ministry to empower others. And also your prayers. When I give you a measure of rule, and as you're led to talk to certain nonprofits or ministries or businesses, the Lord says, I'm giving you a measure of rule in that time, at least, that you're dealing with them. And to know how powerful your prayers are, expect, the Lord says, that I will tell you what to pray, that I will tell you about loosing and binding prayers that you can pray for them, that I'm giving you insights into how they can align with me better or my plans and purposes better. And that you will not only be able to discern that, but but I also give you strategies. Even though it may not be a long, drawn-out thing, I will tell you how to agree with me and how to pray my heart for them. Because the Lord says, my eyes look to and fro over all the earth to find people that will stand in the gap, will agree with me, and will intercede. And that includes businesses and nonprofits and businesses and all like that you influence. And I've given you that sphere of influence in addition to family and friends, you know. But I've given you that sphere of influence, and I will give you the words to intercede for them. And, Patty, I'm just feeling more than once tonight that I'm supposed to ask you to pray about the transactions that we're considering, because it has seemed like that we're stuck, and I don't receive that. But we have been considering the same transaction for, oh gosh, 7 months now. And I believe that you have an anointing for knowing and discerning what's happening in the business realm. And so I'd like you to pray for us to have keen discernment on what God's doing and how to align with Him.
I will. I will.
Thank you. I really appreciate your discernment into businesses and what they're about and all. And Lord, I just thank you for people like Patty that are in the marketplace, like almost everybody is a marketplace minister versus a pulpit minister. But I thank you for the special anointing that you've given her. I thank you for the trust that you've given her, as she is a steward, not only of your discernment and your anointing, but even of material goods. And I thank you that you've given her the power to pray for them with your power and your strategies and for your outcomes. And I just thank you, Lord, for anointed business people who help in any way that you ask them to establish your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, in the realm of business or education or spiritual things in many different areas, through media, through the family, through restoring people. And I thank you for the multifaceted ministry and discernment that you've given her. And I just pray special blessing over her, that as she sows these things, even to people that have no clue about Christianity, that they will be drawn to you, to know the living God and to have that intimate relationship with you also. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woohoo. Thank you, Father. You have a plan for us all. Thank you for calling, Patty. I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you for your program. And thank you for everyone who called in. I've learned from everyone this evening.
Isn't that amazing how we all just meet each other and we just, oh, I mean, we turn our eyes on Jesus and we know that's the key, that He just chooses to work in us and through us and through others. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
I want to encourage you all, to encourage people to listen to the archive, to hear this program, tell them that there's going to be an advanced prophetic series where we'll be talking about these issues, you know, like once you get over the original scary parts of trying to hear God at all, that you can learn these advanced teachings as well. I want to encourage you to go to nowfaith.tv and click on Schools, Prophetic Ministry, Radio, and then hear the first 12 of basic teachings on the prophetic right there. Please invite someone to join us in the archives or next week for more live prophetic ministry and training. And if you'd like to host a training weekend, please call us. You'll see the contact information on this page. You can be our friend on Facebook. You can email us. So please let us know if you have inclination to host training. People are hungry for training. Amen. Now let's all turn our eyes on Jesus and listen. Just listen to what he has to say to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your voice. Thank you for speaking to us through us. We love you, Lord. We worship you. May we be true expressions of your heart.
Together. We turn our eyes upon Jesus. We turn.